First it was Hello Dolly, now it's Hello Snuppy. Not quite the catchy show tune title, but you remember Dolly, the sheep Scottish scientist cloned? Dolly was the world's first cloned mammal. Well, Snuppy is the world's first cloned dog. Cloning a dog isn't easy. It took the Korean scientists who did it nearly 3 years, hundreds of dogs, and nearly 2,000 eggs to produce just two cloned Afghan hounds. One of the young pups died from pneumonia, but Snuppy is 3.5 months old and going strong. Snuppy's name comes from Seoul National University puppy. Snuppy, right? Korean scientists published their accomplishment in the current issue of the journal Nature. What new tricks can cloning dogs teach us? Well, we'll find out. My guest this hour is someone who was not on the Korean cloning team, but he knows quite a bit about dog cloning, and I'm sure he'll tell us what his experience comes from. But it's Dr. Duane Kramer. He's a senior scientist and professor in the Department of Veterinary Physiology and Pharmacology at the College of Veterinary Medicine at Texas A&M University. He joins me today by phone from College Station, Texas. Dr. Kramer, welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to join our conversation or ask some questions about dog cloning, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And so, Dr. Kramer, maybe we can start by pointing out that the Koreans weren't the first to try to clone a dog, that you and your colleagues at Texas A&M took some time working at it.
Yes, we did. And we had some pregnancies, and we had one go to term, but was stillborn. So we've had quite a bit of experience in this regard.
And what did the Koreans do? You're familiar with their work. What did they do right, and why did you stop?
Well, they had the good fortune of having enough dogs to be able to collect the eggs that they used from dogs, rather than using ova or eggs that were obtained from spay and neuter clinics. And that's one of the major differences between their study and ours. We did some collection of eggs from dogs as well. Their efficiency of that was much greater than ours, and they had more dogs available for that than we did it.
Right. And it's still, I mean, the numbers are still kind of overwhelming. I mean, it took them 3 years and, what is it, almost 2,000 eggs and hundreds of dogs that were donors, and then thousands of embryos transferred into, again, more than 100 dogs as recipients. This is a big project.
It is that. Of course, they were doing other things, too. It wasn't just cloning dogs that they were doing. But, yes, it is a major effort. And, of course, when someone is on the cutting edge, there are a lot of problems to be solved. And so it takes a good deal of effort lots of times to get it done.
Right. And what, I mean, why go to the effort? You guys spent a lot of time and trouble working at it, and now the Koreans have. Why work on cloning a dog if it's that hard?
Well, there are a variety of reasons. The biomedical research needs for this kind of technology is our main motivation, but our main source of funding for it comes from people who are interested in cloning pets.
Really? And, I mean, is that, let's talk philosophically for a moment here. I mean, is that, in a commercial sense, I suppose if someone's willing to pay for it and someone's willing to provide it, then you have a service and that's the way the economy runs. But is this really, you know, what the best scientific minds should be devoting themselves to?
Well, I mentioned that the need for biomedical research is there, and the fact that the funding comes from people that have another major interest. They also had interest in the biomedical research aspect of it. So it seems to me that those of us, the few of us that have assumed the responsibility for advancing the technology and techniques in this particular area, have the responsibility to do the best job we can of that.
Okay. We're talking with Dr. Duane Kramer. He's a veterinarian at the College of Veterinary Medicine at Texas A&M University, and we're taking your calls at 800-989-8255. We're talking about cloning dogs and about Snuppy, the first clone dog that was reported this week in the journal Nature. A Korean scientist from Seoul National University did that. Let's take a call now, and let's go to Josh in Durham, North Carolina. Josh, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. I was wondering, I mean, cloning a dog is a great feat in itself, but I was wondering if they, in cloning the dog, did they try to iron out the same degenerative effects that clone the Dolly clone?
Ah, okay, Josh, interesting question. Dr. Kramer, do we know anything about the long-term health consequences, or do people know how to eliminate the potential for long-term health consequences?
Well, there's a lot yet to be learned about that, but there's a lot that's false about the situation regarding to Dolly. Dolly didn't die young because of her telomeres being shorter.
Telomeres are these little things at the ends of DNA of chromosomes, right?
That's correct. And for years, people were saying that she was going to die young, and other people were saying that she'd already died young before she even died. So that rumor, I think, got overblown quite a bit. And there's a lot of data available now on other clones that indicates that telomere problem is not there. Also, she died from a viral lung tumor, and although it's more common for older animals to die from this, there were some members of the flock that died even younger than she from this viral lung tumor. There's no evidence that her being a clone influenced her demise from that tumor. Her obesity and the arthritis that she had, there's really no way to know whether that was related to her being a clone or not. Certainly that's a natural condition of some sheep, and there's no way to know whether that was influenced by her being a clone. But there certainly are many clones that don't have those problems.
Right. So at least at this point, there's no way of knowing for sure whether Snuppy's going to have some future health problem related to cloning or not.
That's correct. There's no way of knowing that. And there's also, even if he has some health problems, it will be very difficult to know whether that's because it's a clone or because it's a dog. Because dogs, there are no new developmental abnormalities or health problems that have been induced by the process of cloning that I'm aware of. They're all have occurred naturally. The incidence of some of them is greater in clones than in natural births. But they're not new abnormalities or new health problems.
Okay. Let's take another call now from Dave in Augusta, Georgia. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm aware that cloning duplicates the physical properties of a dog. Is it likely that the temperament would be duplicated as well, such as in working dogs?
Interesting. Dr. Kramer, any thoughts on that?
Well, that's one thing that we'll be able to answer as more and more work is done in the cloning of animals. A group here at A&M cloned pigs, and six of those cloned pigs were compared with age-matched controls that were not clones for a variety of behaviors that could be tested in pigs. And they found as much variability in those behaviors in the clones as existed in the non-clones. Now, that's not the same as the behaviors you're talking about in dogs, and it's just going to take some time to find out,
Dave,
how much difference there is in between clones in this regard. We could test that by studying identical twins, because the variability will be very similar here as would be in identical twins from natural breeding.
Interesting. Dave, did you have a particular reason you were interested in that question?
Well, the a true working dog that is valuable, such as bomb-sniffing dogs or, you know, world-class bird dogs, are in great demand, and they're very expensive.
Yeah.
And I was just curious if that would be something, you know, that maybe even the military would look at.
Interesting point. Well,
yes, and it's clearly an area of interest, and indeed there'll have to be more clones produced in order to determine the extent to which those traits would be reproduced.
Dave, thanks very much for the call.
All right. thank you very much.
Dr. Kramer, I wonder if you know, and you may not know the answer to this, why the Koreans chose an Afghan hound to clone.
No, I do not know at all why they chose that. It's a nice animal. It has some external markings that one can look at and see how similar they are. But I don't know why they picked that particular one.
Hmm. And what do you see is the have they laid out now with this paper that they've published enough of an explanation of how they accomplished this to draw other people into the field to give it a try again?
Well, the supplemental information is quite useful in giving the details of how they went about doing it, and their procedures are very similar to those that we have used. And I'm sure that it'll help others to proceed with this as well. So it's a good step, and they have an excellent program, and the information they give will be very useful. Now, it is difficult to tell from their paper just how many tries they had to make after they got the first pregnancy, before they got the second, and before they got the third. So the relative efficiency of the process, you know, looks terribly inefficient to some people when they look at the number of eggs that were used, but it could be that there was a progression of improvement in that efficiency as they went along, and that's not evident in the data that they published.
Okay. Let's take another call now from Barry. And is it Candor, New York? Barry,
that's
welcome
correct.
To the program.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
Well, I saw that, very simply, is it possible to make a clone of an animal that just died?
Yes. The cells from dead animals can be harvested and then cultured. If those carcasses have been cooled, they should be cooled in the refrigerator at refrigerator temperatures immediately after death, and then those cells can be obtained from those for several days after death.
Okay, Barry, thanks. That's an interesting question.
Well, yeah, it was selfish. I just had a cat that died, and I was actually, when I saw Snuppy in the paper, I thought to myself, God, if this was available to people, I would take advantage of it.
Yeah.
There are companies that will send a kit to a person who requests those kits, and it'll have the instructions in there for collecting the tissue, and those tissue samples then can be sent into the company. They will culture them up and then freeze them back for future use.
But they're not able to do the cloning reliably now for cats or any other species, is that right?
Well, it depends on what you mean by reliably. The cat cloning has been done commercially.
Uh-huh.
Of course, this is being the first dog. It's not clear when the next ones will come.
Okay.
But yes, cat cloning is being offered commercially now.
We're talking with Dr. Duane Kramer about the Korean scientists this week announcement that they had successfully cloned an Afghan hound named Snuppy. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's take another call. How about if we go to Miles? Is that right, in Boston?
Niles,
sorry. My eyesight's failing.
yes, I think this was touched on while I was on hold, but I was wondering how much of this was they went through a lot of work to discover a reliable method, or how much of this work is going to have to be replicated to produce each new dog clone they might wish to produce.
Yeah, Niles, interesting. That's really the question now. They will produce more data, don't you think, Dr. Kramer? I mean, this was just a short announcement in the journal Nature.
That's correct. Yes, they will, I'm sure, provide the information on how much progress they made in improving the efficiency over the time of this effort.
Okay. Let's take another call now. How about Jessica in Davis, California? Jessica, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering if this was any different than, I know that in Fifi, the first clone cat, the cat didn't look anything like the parent.
Yeah.
And I know that genes are turned on randomly during fetal development. So can someone ensure that this dog is going to look anything like the dog they want to replicate, or have the personality, like the previous caller had said, if this is a random process and the genes being turned on.
Interesting question, Dr. Kramer.
Well, the cat difference is rather unique for calico, three-colored cats. And I wouldn't say she didn't look anything like her big sister, because the white markings were virtually identical. But she didn't use very many of the gene, the X chromosome that codes for the orange in her coat. One X chromosome codes for orange, the other for the black. And those are randomly used in each cell in all mammals. But it's cats that have this color coat characteristic that's quite unique to these calicos. Now, it's been shown in cloned pigs and in cloned cattle that if one has the two-colored types of dogs, of pigs and cattle, the markings will be somewhat different between the individuals. So, it's clear that each clone is a unique individual, but in total, they're going to be more alike than any other method of reproduction that we know of, except for natural identical twins.
Okay, Jessica, thank. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Excuse me, even there are differences.
Right, right. Just very quickly, do you have any sense of what new animal we might be having cloned next, Dr. Kramer?
I really don't know what is next. There are a number of groups working on the wildlife and endangered species.
Yeah.
And in those situations where they have a domestic species that's closely related, so they can use the eggs from that domestic species and also use recipients from those domestic species to clone the endangered animals, it's likely that there'll be progress made in a variety of different situations. So my guess is that it might well be one of the endangered species that we hear about next.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to keep an eye out for that. In the meantime, thank you very much for that enlightening information about dog cloning, Dr. Kramer.
You're most welcome.
Duane Kramer is senior scientist and professor in the Department of Veterinary Medicine, Veterinary Physiology and Pharmacology at the College of Veterinary Medicine at Texas A&M University. When we come back, a look at a chemist, a famous chemist, a Nobel Prize winning chemist, but with a very checkered past. Stay with us.